stretched never returns to its original shape. And that's one of the things that I want to happen in our lives today as we study this word. I want God, by the Holy Spirit, in this service today to stretch our minds so that it will never return to its original shape. Isn't that what renewing of the mind is all about? It's stretching our minds. You know, Romans says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Word of God stretches our minds so that it doesn't return to its original shape. Our original minds that we have, that we come into this life with, we come into this life as fallen creatures. And basically everything that comes out of our nature from being little bitty babies has to do with being self-centered. We call it sinful, fallen nature, self-centered. But even when we come to Christ, and the power of sin is broken in our life, we have to choose to begin to live a life that is beyond self. And that's such a difficulty for many of us. It's been a difficulty for me because I like me. I don't know about you. Do you like you? Okay, I'm not asking if you like me. I like me, and I like my comforts, and I like looking after me. But the Bible teaches a life that's kind of like the paradox principle. It's something that just sounds ridiculous, but it could be true. That the way that I'm going to increase is to die. And that's hard. I have to die to self and live to God, and how is that going to enhance my life? And we don't understand how all of that works, but that could be true. That if we put God first and we put other people first, maybe then God will turn around and fulfill our lives. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, that He'll give us the desires of our heart. And if you think about that, many times we delight ourselves in our desires. But that's not to be our focus. Our desire is our focus is not to seek our desires. Our focus is to delight in the Lord. And as we learn to delight in the Lord, you know what He begins to do? He begins to put desire in our heart, and then He begins to fulfill the desires that we have in our heart. See, we are limited in what we know and understand. We're limited in what we can see as far as the future is concerned. And many of the times, the things that we desire naturally are self-destructive. They're self-destructive. But as we begin to delight in the Lord through a relationship called fellowship, then He begins to place the right desires on the inside of us, and then He begins to fulfill the desires that He places on the inside of us, and it is fulfilling to us. Our basic needs, heart's desires are met, and even not only that, the Bible says that He gives us freely all things to enjoy. But the things are not our focus. Our focus is to be God-focused, to put Him first in our lives. And there is the challenge. You know, we live life one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. We live life, you know why I'm not on the praise team now. We live life one day at a time, and it's so easy for us to get caught up in the routine of our day that many times we don't even think about God. And there have been times, even being a pastor, that I go home at night, and as I begin to settle into my before sleep time, and that's about 2 minutes, I'll look at the Lord and I'll say, God, I didn't think about you much today. I didn't consider you that. I didn't inquire of you much today. You ever feel like that? I struggle with that sometimes. I get caught up in the busyness of the day. And that's one of the reasons that we need to have some disciplines in our lives. And and those disciplines are good, especially when they're rightly focused. That has to do with spending time with God first. And that's very difficult. But there's times that I think, God, I've missed an opportunity to be consciously with you today. I know that He's always there. He's always with us. But consciously, I was not conscious of Him. And I want to live a life where I am conscious of Him. That any moment in my life that I'm aware of Him, that He can say to me, you see that person over there? I love them. And I want to love them through you right now. I want to be able to do that. And I must confess that I'm not always in that position. That's where I want to head. That's what I want to be in my fellowship with God. Now, we talked last week, but there is a difference in our relationship with God and our fellowship with God. We are related to God by faith in Jesus Christ. That we're transformed out of darkness into light, and we come into a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. But just because you have a relationship with God doesn't mean that you have fellowship with God. You are qualified to have fellowship, but that fellowship is up to you. See, there's a scripture where God says, you draw nigh to me. Can you help me finish that? And I will draw nigh to you. Is that conditional? I'd say yes. So if I don't draw nigh to Him, now I'm talking about as a believer. As unbelievers, that's not a word to unbelievers, because God seeks us as unbelievers. You didn't find God. God found you. God sought after you. He brought you into a relationship with Himself, but He wants you to turn around and to choose a life where you live in fellowship with Him and you begin to pursue Him. I know early in your Christian life, God seems so close. He has done such a marvelous work in your life, and you've had such a heart change. And God seems so close, and it just seems like, you know, before you get your prayer out of your mouth, you know, the phone rings and there's the answer to your prayer, or it's just like that. And you begin to grow, and then God doesn't seem as close sometimes. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, God seems so far away. Well, guess who moved? It wasn't God. Many times we quit pursuing God. We want Him to be pursuing us. But He says, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And this word fellowship that we talked about last week, one of the first things that we talked about is that it means friendship. Now, here's an area that I must admit that I struggle with. Because as a young child, I was taught, and this is good, that God is my Father. That Jesus is to be my Lord. That I am to be His child. And none of that sounded like friend to me. Because there is a difference in a father and a friend. There is a difference in a Lord and a friend. And we call Him King. King doesn't sound like friend, does it? King sounds like somebody that's passing out decrees. And He is King. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. And that is who He is. But we think a lot of times in a Gentile mindset. Because we think about presidents. I'm not friends with the president. Are you? I'm not saying I dislike the president. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But he and I are not personal friends. He is the president. He is my leader. He is the head of my country. I do not have a relationship with him even, other than I have the opportunity to vote. Okay? That is the only relationship that I have with those people, having the opportunity to vote about that. But he is our leader, like it or not. But I don't have a friendship with him. And many times in our Gentile mindset, or our non-kingdom mindset, we think about people who are over us, who rule over us, who are authorities, and we have a mindset that they're far out beyond us. And when we bring that into the realm of God, all of those things are true. When you begin to fathom about how big God is, you think, how could he even know about me? But he knows everything about you. He is God of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer of the universe. The universe is still in a state of creation. There are stars that are still being, that are still forming. Well, who's behind that? God is. But you know, he's not too busy to hear my prayer. And the relationship that he desires to have with me is that of friendship. And I struggle with that a little bit. Sometimes in my past, I really wondered if he even liked me. Have you ever thought that way? I think maybe all of us. How could God love me? If he really knew me, how could he love me? And you know, the truth of the matter is, he does know you and he still chooses to love you. And the wonderful thing about that is that it doesn't have anything to do with who you are or what you are. It is a matter of his choice. And not only does he love you, he sought a relationship with you and he went all out and he found you. He sent his son to die for you. And when you opened your heart to him, he came in and he changed you. He redeemed you. He brought you into his family. And somebody ought to be shouting by now. He brought you into his family and he desires to have fellowship with you. Now, he wants to be your king. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your redeemer. He is all of those things. But even beyond that, he wants to be your friend. Can you call him friend today? Can you call him friend today? He is your friend. Are you his friend? And when we begin to talk about friendship, we're talking about an interaction between two parties. Have you ever been in a one-sided relationship? Some of you can think back to your dating days. Those of you that are married. Maybe you can think back to your dating days where a failed relationship because it was all one-sided. You know, one person wanted all of the taking, but they gave no, they weren't willing to give anything in the relationship. And that is so out of balance. Relationships are based on things in common, sharing together of things in common. It is called fellowship. It is called friendship. It's a two-way thing. Now, we looked in the Bible last week and we saw in James chapter 2 and in verse 23, where it talked about how God redeemed Abraham. God redeemed Abraham by faith, and then he called him a friend of God. A friend of God. Abraham was a friend with God. Now, he had to become his redeemer first. He had to be redeemed by faith. He had to be justified by faith. But he came into a relationship or a fellowship with God where God considered him a friend and he considered God a friend. I want to be in that place. God wants us to be in that place. God wants you to be in that place. And we're not just talking about a legal position. You know, we can talk about we are the righteousness of God in Christ. That is our legal position in Christ. When you get born again, God calls you righteous. Now, at that point, in the natural, you're not that righteous because there's still a lot of things in your life that are goofed up. Okay, you're not living that righteous of a life. You're not living that holy of a life. But positionally, God calls you righteous and he begins to draw you into fellowship with him. But when I'm talking about friendship, I'm not just talking about a legal position that we have. There's a lot of people who are legally married, but they're not even friends. They live in the same house, but they don't even like each other. They've grown apart. They started out okay, but they've grown apart. And marriages fall apart because fellowship, communication is gone. All of the elements of koinonia is gone out of the marriage. And there are people who have legal standing with God, right standing with God, but they have no fellowship. And that's not what God desires. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to be a friend with Him. I want to read a verse, and this is found in John chapter 15 and verse 9. Jesus says these words, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Now, he's describing a fellowship here. Jesus became the mentor to these disciples. He taught them. He rebuked them. They followed him. They modeled after him. He corrected them. He did all of these kind of things. And before he went away, he says, "You know what? I want to introduce a new concept to you." He says, "We're supposed to love each other." He says, "I don't call you servant anymore. I'm going to call you friend." We sing the song, "I am a friend of God." Sometimes I think we sing a lot of things that don't soak in. Is anybody out there today? I do. I think sometimes we sing words and they become empty to us because we don't put our hearts into them. And I am a friend of God. Hey, that's a revelation. I am a friend of God. Exodus 33:11 talks about that Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses was a friend of God. He spoke to God face to face. Now, what happens in this face to face relationship? This face to face fellowship has to do with him sharing things with you. See, Jesus says, "The things that my Father has shared with me, I share with you." We do not hide what we do from you because you are our friend. Now, we can have that kind of fellowship with God where he shares with us about things to come, that he shares with us the things of the Father. Did you know God is not in the business of hiding things from the body of Christ? He's not. He wants to share things with us. But many times we shun that call to fellowship. It's draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Well, Lord, I don't have time today. I got to meet the guys for breakfast. What have I just told God? That having breakfast with the guys is more important than his call to friendship. Well, Lord, if I do that, then this. What am I saying to God? That's more important than my friendship to God. And here's how we pass that off. Well, you know, God understands. Yeah, he understands. He sees our heart. He sees where we are. And he's calling us into friendship with him. Now, it has to do, he says, if you keep my commandments, if you love my commandments and you keep my commandments, you're my friend. So we're not talking about a disobedient lifestyle that brings us into friendship with God. We're talking about a lifestyle where God is speaking into our lives. Now, there's a proverb. Proverbs 27:17 says this: as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, the way that I've always seen that scripture is that if I hang out with a friend, if I hang out with a person of godly character, iron will sharpen iron, that we'll rub off on each other. And, you know, if I hang around with Chris, then I'll see the good things in his life and it'll knock the rough edges off of me. And he can see the things in my life that are good and it'll knock the rough edges off of him. And I think that means that. But let's take a different look at that. Let's take a different look at that for just a minute. What if God is our friend? And we're hanging out with him and iron sharpens iron. Well, let me ask you, first of all, does God need to be sharpened? No. Is there anything that God needs that I can give him? No. God is perfect. God does not need me. God does not need me to add anything to his life or to his existence. God would be okay if I didn't exist, because there's nothing that we can do to add to God. You cannot add to perfection. So what happens when I come into a face-to-face with God? What iron gets sharpened? Me. Do you see why he wants to have a relationship with us? Do you see why he wants to have face-to-face fellowship with us? Who does it benefit to have that kind of fellowship? Me. Me. I am the one who is going to benefit from that. What is that going to do? It's going to bring me into a oneness with him. It's going to knock the edges off of my life. It's going to knock the offensive things out of my life. And it's going to cause me to become more like him. Have you ever hung around some guy or some girl? I'm talking gender stuff here now. Guys, guys, girls, girls. But have you ever seen a woman, ladies, that you think, that's a godly woman, and I want to be like her. I want to be more like her. Or you see a man, you say, man, he's sharp. He's this and he's that. He's a good businessman, or he is excellent, and I want to be more like that. And you get into a relationship with that person, and you become, you take on some qualities you glean from that person's life, and it increases your life. It adds value to your life. How much more when you're hanging out with God Almighty in a face-to-face friendship, what could that do to you? It could bring out everything that God has placed on the inside of you. See, you were designed by God, and you were designed to be in a relationship with him, and you were designed to be in fellowship with him. But we're all messed up because of Adam's sin. We're all messed up because of our sin. We're selfish. Is God selfish? Yes, but he's perfect. His selfishness, when he exalts himself, who benefits from that? We do. When we exalt ourselves, who benefits from that? We do. Okay? So we're in a relationship and we're in fellowship with this God. And when we begin to rub against him, when we begin to hear him, when he begins to knock the chunks off of our life, we're going to become more like him. And that's different from every person, because he has put in us the seeds of purpose. He has put in us different giftings, different graces, different callings. And when we're in fellowship with Him, it makes us better than we were before. And here's the neat thing about Christianity. There is no such thing as comparing ourselves among ourselves and by ourselves. Well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm better than Nancy. That's comparing ourselves among ourselves. Or using ourselves as a standard. Because you know what? We're not perfect yet. But when we're in a face-to-face with God, you're looking in the face of completeness. And when He looks at you, and here's the thing I love about God. When He sees me, He just doesn't see my weakness. He sees my potential. He knows me from the inside out. And He wants to change me from the inside to the outside. But that's only going to happen as I pursue Him. It's not that He's going to pursue me. I must pursue Him. Now, He does pursue us, but it's up to us to pursue Him as Christians. We need to pursue Him. It's so easy to become complacent in our relationship with God. It's so easy to become satisfied with the level of our fellowship. We should not quit as long as we live. We can all grow. We can all be better. We can all, none of us, I don't care how talented you are. See, talent is within itself is a blessing and a curse. There's people who build things on talent that none of the rest of it ever rises to the top because they're so talented that they can build everything around their talent. Well, we haven't glorified God that way. God wants to change you whole man, whole person. He doesn't want me just to be a good speaker. He wants me to be what He designed me to be in every area of my life. And the only way that that can happen is not by sitting and listening at sermons. It's spending time face to face with God. You say, well, I don't have hours and hours and hours. It doesn't take hours and hours and hours. It just takes a consistent lifestyle of pursuing God. It's a matter of the heart. And this is where we've got to start. We've got to get our hearts right so that we can begin to pursue God the way that we need to. Okay, we've got to stop right here. Next week, we're going to get into some things about community and agreement and joint participation and intimacy and reproduction, the things that God wants to do in our lives and our communion with God. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come real fast. I've laid a bunch out there today, but here's what I want you to think about this week. I want you to think about this Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. God is your friend. And He's going to sharpen your countenance. And I want you to think about that this week. How your quiet time works, whether it's early in the morning or late in the evening or during the day or while you drive, I want you to meditate on this. And I want you to pray about this. God, I want to be your friend. I want to spend time in your presence so that your countenance can sharpen my countenance. And I tell you what, when you're striking up against perfection, you're going to be better and better and better for it. You're going to be the beneficiary of it. And you're going to grow closer to God. And He's going to grow closer to you. And you're going to be able to look at Him and say, you know, you're my God and you're my Lord. And you're my Redeemer. But you're my friend. And mean it from right here. From right here. Father, thank you. Thank you today for koinonia. For fellowship. And thank you that it sets into motion dominoes, the domino effect of everything that you want to do in our life. Lord God, we've been taught salvation. and we've rested in our salvation. And too many times we've just been complacent about all of that and thought that was it. And Lord God, help us to know that that's only the beginning of what you do. That's only the beginning of our salvation. That relationship leads to fellowship. And fellowship leads to glory. It causes us to be light bearers. Speak to your people's hearts this week, I pray in Christ's name. If you're here and you have any kind of need in your life today, these altars are open. You can come and they'll be glad to pray with you. Maybe God has spoken something to you in this service today that you need to deal with. Maybe you need to make Jesus Lord. Maybe you need healing. Whatever it is, come.